This is Channel 1 over. This is Channel 1 over. The new Rio, Kenny Sims. Channel 1 over. Channel 1 over. On the new Rio, Kenny Sims. This is the middle of the visit on Saturday afternoon, 15th of March, 1969. This is the middle of the visit, the long visit, on Saturday afternoon, 15th of March, 1969. Now, this is Channel 1 over. This is Channel 1 over on the new Rio, Kenny Sims. The visit, halfway through the visit, on Saturday afternoon, the 15th of March, 1969.
I got some hairspray up there, people. I thought that folks sell it in. That man may be over, too. That's not
exactly over,
it's not empty.
Oh, it is.
That is nothing good to be over. Steve, you don't mean that. Do you expect spring to spring here all of a sudden or something? Well, you're the one
Right for Hollywood mustache and beard chart.
Anything over $2?
Don't
scout me, okay?
Oh,
all right,
buddy. It has grown rather thick. Instead of hair.
Kenny?
Yes, sir.
Did you go back to Alabama after Lawrence?
Well, I'll tell you what.
When?
After the Army.
Oh, just for a short while. I left soon after I was married.
Come down here?
Yes.
Been here ever since?
Been here, right here.
Right around here?
Yeah, come out here.
Yes,
I left there soon after I got married.
And been around here ever since? Right around Gainesville.
Well, I lived in the Lake City about 2 years. And around the Lakeland about a year.
Where?
Lakeland.
Yeah.
I moved up here
then. Oh, you have been. You did knock around, didn't you? How'd you happen to come up here?
I wanted to get in an area that I liked personally, and I wanted to get away from all my relatives and establish my own self. Establish my own individual family apart from family relationship.
Oh, you?
None of my people here.
You had people in Lakeland?
I had a brother in Lakeland, I had a brother in St. Pete, an uncle in St. Pete, two cent died, an aunt in St. Pete. I got two aunts in Fort Lauderdale on my mother's side. I got an uncle in Cocoa Beach on my had two uncles in Fort Lauderdale. I got people all over Florida.
Good Lord. What they do, just migrate from up there in Alabama?
Mm-hmm.
Just left town. Just left there. Lake City.
Lake City. I have an aunt there.
Yeah. I've been up to Lake City. I kind of like it up there.
Lake City's a nice little town. But there just wasn't much of an opportunity there, I didn't think.
At that time?
At that time.
Yeah. It's probably changed by now.
A lot of business is well in hand. A barber just starting out, they didn't have a chance. There's too many old established barbers there.
Yeah. Well, when did you get here then? 1950?
About 55, I think it was.
Well, I've been here about as long as you have. Did you run into our old friend?
Mr. Edge?
Uh-huh, Hugh Edge.
Yes, I met him not too long after I was here.
Well, now, you weren't in with him when I first knew you.
No, sir.
That
I
was...
I didn't have Mr. Ed, Mr. Moore.
Yeah, I didn't...
Like a seer.
Yeah, yeah. And then the next thing I knew, you was over there about with...
Mr. Ed.
Yeah. 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 Yes, sir. Now, you lived out that same place all this time?
Yeah. To me, when you look something like that...
Well, when you went out there, that was way out in the country.
That was way out in the country. I thought I had a long way to come to town.
Yeah.
But you know, not too long after living out there, they built a school. And housing development continue to build out there, but not at no rapid pace.
No, no.
And they're still building out there on a scale-down basis. Mm-hmm. H.H. Parrish has that property across on the north side of the highway there in Lake Forest area. And he don't build a home until he sells it.
Yeah. How far are you from the church?
From that church out there? About 4 blocks.
Now, what's the name of the church?
Lake Forest. You talking about the Methodist church or the Baptist church out there?
I thought it was the Baptist church.
What did you ask me?
The Baptist church. I said, how far are you from that Baptist church out there?
From that Baptist church. Well, the Baptist church is on 51st Street.
Is that what it is now?
And I live on 48th.
Yeah. Pleasant Grove?
The hill.
Is that the name of it?
No, Lake Park.
Lake Park, yes.
East End.
Yeah.
If I'm getting confused, I thought you were talking about my church. You're talking about my church.
I thought I was.
Well, mine is out down at 5 miles this side of Newberry. I live 17 miles from my church.
Well, how in the hell did I know that, Kenny? I never knew that. Your church is over toward Newberry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't even know what church that is.
That's Oakdale Baptist Church.
Is that one section off the Newberry Road?
A little redwood building there off the Newberry Road, out beyond the Farnsworth store.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how'd you ever get started over there?
They called me over there. I went out there and see, in the Southern Baptist organization, we used to have what was called an Association of Missionaries.
Yeah.
And this program was set up in such an order that he would be somewhat of a troubleshooter or coordinator of all the churches in, say, in this area. There was three associations. There was the New River Association, the Santa Fe River Association, the Black Creek Association, so exactly. These are his three districts. And then our association is 33 churches.
Yeah.
And his responsibility was to help them keep a minister.
Yeah.
You know, when one moved out, they would notify him, and then he could send them a recommendation or send them someone that was available, and they could choose themselves.
Yeah.
You know, whereby who they want, how they want them to come. And of course, at that time, I had been doing a lot of supply work, which I had availed this information to him, you know.
Well, I see, I didn't know you did that.
You did?
No.
I had been helping him. He preaches on Sunday in churches that need him, and who were at, without a pastor. At the same time, he had laymen around through the association, people that were feeding, that God were leading them to ministry. And he would list these, and when the church called him, he'd call some of these guys. Say, how about going over to, say, Alaska Lake? How about going over to Wellington Springs and supplying to them people today in the morning service or morning and evening service? And then after that day, the responsibility of his was done. And if they wanted to come back, they would contact us, see?
Mm-hmm.
This is the case out there. Mm-hmm. I was sent out on the basis of his recommendation to the preacher. And to help them out, and they called me after that day to help them out.
Well, that puts it all in a different light. I didn't realize you did that. I just pictured you as the one of the deacons over there in that church, that Pleasant Grove Church. Now, that's where I had placed you, Kenny. How did I do that? I used to pass there all the time, for one thing. And I figured you were just a sort of one of the pillars of the church out there.
No, I had been going to Carroll Estates Baptist Church. I had been a deacon over there for about 10 years.
Yeah.
There's
my church, sorry. Newberry. Well, now, where you live?
I live out in Lake Forest. Out east end, out toward Newberry.
Yeah. And that's where you've been all along?
That's where I've been living, all my time in Indiana, yes, sir.
I see. Well, I just had you wrong. I don't know. Just had the whole different idea, wrong idea about it. Can I have this?
Yes, sir. You're welcome to it.
You know, I think I know where that is. And
let
me tell you, one of my that's where I knocked around when I first came to town. I knocked around out in there, and I remember one of my friends was old Holt, H-O-L-T, and what was his first name? He died. They gave him the wrong sort of medicine for a kidney ailment. And I knew a lot of people right out in there, and then I bought a little place up there from not too far from there, out from Alachua. And stayed up. I didn't stay there long. Then I got a hold of this piece of property down south, you know, and went down there. So I've just lost track up there. And, that was nice out there.
Nice country out there.
I would like to go. I knew several people up there. Out there. I knew them right well. I can't tell you the names right offhand. They just don't come to me. But,
Parker? Huh?
Yes. I'd love to go out there and just knock around some afternoon. I sure would.
Well, come.
What's the best time to come? Morning service, I guess.
Morning or evening service. We have services beginning at 11.
Yeah.
And 7:30.
Ever Sunday?
Yeah.
Golly, that's a city church.
It's full-time practice.
How long you been out there?
Going on 3 years now.
Mm.
Starting my third year last February.
Mm. Well, you're an important man. I thought you just worked there. You're the head man.
Nelson?
Yes, I'll have to save my children.
You know how a head man in the Baptist church. That's why you have to put them in around in the Baptist church. Yes. Yes, that's right. You know, what's the name? Dean Martin got the song, you know, the popular now, there's too many teeth and not enough Indians. Yes. Baptist church is full of Indians, and not enough Indians. <laughs> Well, that's one nice thing about it. Nobody's smoking a peace pipe.
You know, I've never been to Sunday school in Baptist church. Isn't that something?
Well, you ought to.
I have never been to Sunday school in the Baptist church since I was a boy.
One time.
Now, I go to the Methodist church and the Presbyterian church.
Well, you met a good Baptist.
A good place to start right in Sunday school.
Yes, sir.
Go to Sunday
now,
school.
Now, adults play down Sunday school, and they feel like it, and feel towards it, like it's a child's place.
Oh, do they?
Sure. Adults do this. They've done this for years and years. How many, my goodness alive, I can name you by name hundreds of people that will send their children to Sunday school, but they won't go themselves.
Lord help us. I thought it took more brains to go to Sunday school than to church. All you had to do in church sat there.
Not to do that thing. And I said, man, y'all gonna do it. If I'm not gonna do it, y'all gonna do something.
Yeah.
Not gonna be me.
Yeah.
Y'all.
Yeah.
So, That kind of upset the apple cart a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
People don't like to change things.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's been my biggest trouble out there.
Yeah.
And leading them people.
Yeah.
To look at things in a different light.
That sounds more like Methodist than does Baptist.
Now, Presbyterians don't have this problem. They have more of an administrative idea and outlook towards the work. We get personally involved.
Yeah.
And the Baptists have got too many of these here do-it-yourself kits, you know.
Well, I'd like to know some of you people out there. I bet you I know some of them.
Now, what I'm saying about the situation is not criticism in a sense. Don't get me wrong. I love the people. I wouldn't be out there if I didn't feel a concern for them. You know, if I didn't feel I didn't know what will, I certainly wouldn't.
Yeah,
but I'm there to try to lead them people to help them develop themselves and not do everything for them.
Yeah.
They're not babies. They're babies in Christ in a sense, but.
I listened to that Sunday school forum on Saturday morning, and they are always throwing off on their members, you know, for passing the buck and sitting back and letting somebody else do the work.
That's tradition.
Always doing that.
That's tradition. You know, I never will forget a message I heard one time, one of our great preachers in the tradition, preached about it. The passage of scripture wherein Jesus says, if a man take up his cross and follow me, let him.
Yeah.
And he expounded on that let him.
Yeah.
You know, we're willing for anybody to go to the extreme in serving God. They want to. That's it. Just let him do it.
Yeah.
Let Brother John do it. He likes to do that kind of thing. Let him do it.
Yeah.
You know? Let him go out there and give him everything he does. Let him do it.
Yeah. Kenny, let me tell you. One of the finest fellows I ever knew down here, and I didn't know him until I moved down south town here. His name Willie Chitty, and he used to, I get in trouble, he'd come over and help me. I'd pay him, but you know, didn't pay him much. Then he had to go out and come to town. I haven't seen much of him. And I was surprised. I'm telling you, I was surprised. He looked just like Wilson. He ran that church over there. He kept the thing going. He was the superintendent of Sunday school. He taught the Sunday school classes. And I never heard him preach over there, but he hires a preacher and does all those things. That's a Baptist church. It's over there. Oh, I can't call the name of it. You know, it's over right due west of McIntosh. It's a nice church. No, west.
It's a nice church.
Oh, you know what it was, Roger. You may not have knocked around out in there. Farmington, out in there.
Flemington. Yeah, I preached in Flemington. Sure did.
Yes, sir. Well, you know.
I led the revival service down there one time.
Oh, they did, you did. Well,
sure did. Chitty down there?
That's the one I'm telling you about. Well, it did it. I never called him Mister. I'll have to start doing it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I worked with the music down there, did it?
There's
music down there in the Bible service one time.
Yes, sir. Willie is one of the finest fellows I ever saw. Anywhere.
Well, he appeared to me to be a fine fellow.
Oh.
I have to say, he was one of the real dedicated members in the church.
Yes, sir. He is. There's no two ways about it. He tried to stay out there in the country to make a living, but he couldn't do it. He had to come to town. At least he works in town. He still lives out there.
That was one of the hottest weeks I think I ever spent.
Yeah.
Getting down there at night and it being muggy and hot and mosquitoes were cool, you know. Some of the biggest things down there I've seen. Preacher, he'd be sitting there trying to listen to them, mosquitoes gnawing his hands.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
One about his ankle, raise his tongue.
Yes, sir.
After a while, you get where, you know, you just automatic. Like an old cow on a
horse. Yeah.
You get the Boy Scout?
Okay.
Leamington, yes. That's a nice community.
Yes,
thanks.
Yeah, I was thinking one time or 2 weeks revival. Up in Florida. I don't know if I ever had any more fun or any better.
They
miss otherwise. Opportunity to work. And that's the kind of enjoy anymore. You know, you just don't hear 2 weeks revival anymore. Bad churches. Just don't have the 1 week. They plan and program for 1 week. And that's all. And I've often wondered what in the world people would do if the Spirit of the Lord just moved. You know? And they had to extend services for another week. Used to, you know. People have revival services if the Spirit of the Lord moves in the people. And that's a phrase that you don't hear. It's played down. It's as if God doesn't exist. But yet, we go to church in all our formality that when we speak of it,
that's like
the movement of the Holy Spirit, people back away from it. That's the shame of that.
Mm-hmm.
Non-committed. But I often wonder what in the world would happen. And we who should call ourselves Christians and Bible believers, if the Spirit of the Lord were to move on the people, and repentance were to be manifest among church membership, what in the world would they do? Would they cut it off because the week was over, or what?
Yeah. Yes, sir. They'd stop by the clock, calendar. Well, you're certain. Now, you see, I don't know that. I don't know. See, I haven't kept up these things any like you have. But there's this clock business. You see, you got to stop with the clock. It's almost like on the radio or the television. You start with it and stop with it.
Well, you're talking about the distance. Start with that and a little bit harder on the thing. 6 hours, time to get breakfast and get cleaned up, you know, get everything. Halfway straightened out around the house before we leave. And leave about a quarter to nine, no later than nine, to drive out there. And the time we got out there, well, it's time for some speed to start, see. And it was a little bit hard on us, making that transition change.
That is out at where you are now, the church.
Yeah.
What's the name of it?
Oakdale.
Yeah, Oakdale Church.
But after a while, we got adjusted, and now we got where we look forward to that little guy right there.
Yeah.
Big bird.
Yeah.
The scenery, and you got that relaxed, you know.
Yeah.
Besides that, one of our older kids is. Got her driver's license now. She can drive, and we can just sit back and have a good time road.
That's all right. Well, hell, in a way, you're just lucky. You ought to pay them. Let's come.
That's right.
They just give you something to think about, and give you an audience to talk to. Look at it from that point of view. You see, you'll owe them.
Well, you know, first year is always kind of hard to get out there. Hard on my standpoint, wasn't on me. I, you know, the first year, I guess I spent most of it, the entire year, still trying to adjust to the fact that, you know, things you hear new. People coming up calling me preacher, you know. Preacher that, you know.
Yeah.
It's a new role to find yourself in.
Yeah.
And you just don't know, it's a strange way for people to address it.
Yeah.
You know, preach it. But after about a year, it don't bother me anymore. To think, you know, people call me preacher. Well, I'm not worthy of that.
Yeah.
I'm reverend.
Yeah.
Reverend Sims and all that. He just, you wish it wouldn't say it, you know.
Yeah.
It embarrasses you in a sort of way because it's a...
Don't tell me. I know how it is. They don't call me Reverend, but I get a title every now and then.
Did you ever stop to consider the word Reverend? The identity
no,
of the
no,
word Reverend?
No.
Well, I'm telling you the truth, man. That's a great
That's a strong word.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah.
We're held in a position that is revered.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, I feel so unworthy.
Yeah.
For that thing.
Yes, sir. I don't like
but
to...
That first year was quite an experience. I got through it. Second year, I was, speaking a little more. At home, I was a little more relaxed and able to express myself.
Yeah.
Things begin to kind of take shape.
Yeah.
And as we say in the Baptist Church, Spirit of the Lord begin to move.
Yeah.
People begin to kind of wake up a little bit. Realize that I wasn't going to come in there on no fly-by-night basis if I was trying to do what the Lord wanted me to do or what I felt like the Lord wanted me to do. I was willing to express it and step out.
Yeah.
And I expected them to support you.
Yeah.
Things begin to work out. Move along. We had a good second year.
Uh-huh.
We had a real good second year.
How did I do? How did
now
I?
Now the third year has begun. What's going to happen there, I don't know. Steve, feel that now, partner.
That looks nice. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You can roll my mirror up here for you to get a better look at it. You like it thin a little on top, Steve? Feel that. Feel a little long?
All right.
Feel that. Then a little bit too level with the hair. I had dinner with your old father one day this week in the delightful atmosphere of the waffle shop.
Well, I used to like it there. Has it changed?
Not a bit. You can get a cussing out by just batting your eye across. But I'm saying, you can't find a better place for a quick sandwich, a hamburger, or something like that.
Yeah.
That old gal naturally started to sleep on that bed.
Yeah. Who is she?
Call her Kathy. I don't know what her last name is.
Yeah.
But if you've ever seen anybody work a hot grill, she does.
Yeah.
She can put out more food on that thing. She don't wait to move. Every move she makes is
yeah.
more production.
Yeah. That's sleight of hand.
Yes, sir.
Kenny, when do you study your lessons?
That's one of the hardest things I have to do right now. After I get through trying to give a little time to the family.
Yeah.
The MPTA meetings, school meetings, and things like that. That don't leave me too much time.
That's the hardest part
about my work in the church. You know, you hear people talk about preaching. I'm going to tell you something. You just don't step into a pulpit and start preaching. I used to think that the preacher was one of those kind of fellows that could get up there and be endowed with a message,
Yeah.
And still have this confidence.
Yeah.
It involves quite a bit of reading and studying and preparation.
Yeah. And you can't just pick up somebody else's sermon and go in there and give it, can you?
Well, at times when you can read other people's books and resource materials, and there's phrases that you feel very strong about that they use that making them reconstruct.
Yeah, but you've got to reconstruct.
That's right. You've got to fit it to apply to your own individual context.
And you can't do that from coal, from the notes or something up there, mm-hmm. I don't guess.
Well, I wouldn't do it.
If
you're going to use somebody else's material, then you better quote.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So there may be somebody sitting there trying to bring it to your attention.
Yeah, stepping out there, or kids tell you about that.
And there again, thank the Lord for the pastor.
It's kind of easy now.
As I have said, I never felt worthy of the responsibility. Still don't.
All right.
Let me tell you one thing. If you probably have a great desire, and you fully intend to go out there and really set the woods on fire, because you let me tell you something, man, and you remember, that there's nothing original today. And you consider it
wrong.
It's taken me 2 years to fully realize the significance of that thing. There's nothing original today. Well, there's nothing you could preach about that somebody hadn't already preached about and already said.
And you kind of got to move into it yourself with your own experience.
That's right. Well, you're living, and the only thing in the world you're going to have to give responsibility to God is for the time that you have lived on this earth in your life. Not that young. God's not going to hold you to be responsible for what happened in 1900 or 1901, 1902 when we didn't live. He's going to hold you and I responsible for our obligations and responsibilities to people from the year 19, well, let's say, from the time I was born again, you know.
He gonna run me off here. I'm standing here.
From that day to the day I die, when I've had the ability to reason and understand and ask for His divine leadership, those are the times I'm gonna have to be responsible for Him for.
Yeah.
Not the time in which I wasn't a Christian, or the time in which I didn't live. Now let's look at that again, Steve. Take the comb.
Now that stays right where you got it. What makes you stay in the same place like that?
Yes, I do. You're a doctor now. I ain't going to charge you a thing in the world for that sermon today.
Thanks.
Steve, you're an exceptional young man.
Just $2.
You're right. An exceptional young man.
Well, he knows more about you than he did, I'll bet you.
Steve here has been a friend of mine over the years, really.
Yeah. Anytime a Presbyterian listens to a Baptist, they're bound to change a little.
Is that right?
His old father and I have been acquainted over the years since I've been here.
Yeah.
His father is one of the dedicated.
I did all my changes before becoming Presbyterian.
His father is one of the dedicated members of First Presbyterian.
Yeah.
He's one of the Lord's men over there.
What's his name? Say that again.
25 and you're over there, you know.
Say that again, okay. Steve. I couldn't hear all that.
So your kids are like, I'm gonna be a big guy, I'm gonna get 10 years old.
Yeah.
And you're 10 years trying to be a teenager.
Yeah.
You don't want your teenager to wear it off. Next year I'm gonna be a year old 18.
Yeah.
And after that, well, 25 and then you go downhill.
After you hit 25, I'll tell you, boy, it
goes fast.
Hey,
and that draft age, 18 is draft age.
That's when you sign up.
Yeah.
When you register, yeah.
And 19 is the age?
That's when they used to draft me.
Yeah. So that hurts.
Yes,
that
sir. Now see my office.
Yeah,
Steve, be careful. We'll meet you on the road. trim that was long. Getting a little bit long. All right. Talking about the cow, has the grass come out any and all?
It has come out several times and then went back. Oh, it's been sad. And I'd say, well, I got enough feed last me a week, and I'd keep cutting down on it and cutting down on it, and the week would be over, and I'd have to order some more.
Well, you know,
you can't just let them turn the bone, they're bony the way it is.
I can't ever recall having as long a winter as we've had this year. It hasn't been a severe cold, but
no.
It's been a long, persistent cold.
No, it's not destroyed any trees or the blossoms of fruit or anything like that. No, sir. I ordered some more feed this week. I see if it's 50 last night, if it stay up 50, for, you know, the grass would grow. I got it. I got to spread fertilizer too, you know. It won't grow much without that.
My boy worked with the bishop, our bishop, FFA chapter. And raising his steel. And you know, I tell you, he got some real good experiences working with that steer. I went out for the steer show the other Thursday night to see them. Mark and Moore, you know, they had them kids in there with the little boys club steers and the FFA steers and individual steers, you know. And I got some tickets in the kids. I'm off the side.
Yeah.
Hated to give up the steers.
Yeah. Yeah.
My old boy come home about 11 o'clock that night. Next morning, he got a little bit melancholy. But you know that. But I kind of did too. He got to go too.
Yeah.
But you know, little Rascal got $80 out of his part of that deal.
Yeah.
He sure did.
Well, where did they keep it?
Out at the advisor's farm. Hargrave.
Out there towards the
Brooker.
Oh.
They live out there close to Antioch Church.
Yeah.
My little cousin still brought $1.04.
$1.04.
Goodness. Yeah, that's one of the troubles of the steers. They don't get to keep them long. Of course, maybe that's long enough for them.
Man, can't you?
Get a heifer and grow the heifer up and they get to keep the cow. I ever grew out there, a two-year-old bull. He had personality. Anybody coming up there would pick him out first thing. He wouldn't wait to be picked out. He'd come right up there and speak, you see. Did it?
He was inquisitive type.
He was friendly. He loved to visit.
What kind was he?
Well, any of them will do that. If you let him, he's a heifer. I never realized that when I was growing up. But I'd go out in the pasture now, you see, and if I just sort of stay in one place there, they'll all come up. First thing you know, you'll see a little motion in them, heading over, maybe head my way. First thing you know, up there. If I sit down, the calves, the first thing I know, the calves are getting a circle. You know how they do?
Mm-hmm. Circle. All the way around.
Yes.
Lick on
them. Yeah, stick those feet out there like they must get ready to move in case anybody jumps at them. Yeah, they love to visit. Do they do much farming out there?
Out
there? Uh-huh.
They got a few progressive farmers out there, not many big farmers, but some of them have plenty of bees. He's working on razors.
Yeah.
Parkers, Montaroras.
They all farm a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not any real big farms, I tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, that road there from the store back over there, I used to think that was one of the prettiest places I ever saw. It's kind of high, you know.
They're borrowing $600 real estate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, out there at your church, is they, are there mostly people who live in the neighborhood?
Yeah. I've got three or four families that have come out there from town.
And most of them are sort of, you'd say, the old residents are sort of brought up out there.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, that's the kind. I'd love to be out there. I kind of like that better than I do the little suburban churches where there's much turnover and everything.
There's not the formality out there. It's an order that you have in urban churches. People are not used to too much formality.
Yeah.
And actually, it's been hard to try to get in the program of orderliness constituted. I like orderliness.
Do you?
I like formality too. To me, a worship service is supposed to be a service that is orderly. It's a sacred hour. An hour in which reverence must be instilled in the service. You have to deal with the little children, you know. Keep down promotion as much as possible. Well, out there, there's no such thing as taking kids to a nursery, you know. Uptown preachers wouldn't know what to do if the baby would scream in the middle of a message and scare them to death.
Yeah, they're not used to that anymore.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, these preachers would be scared to death and be completely distracted if they had to preach above some old man snoring.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Y'all
would get old Preacher Joseph
to come out there
and preach sometime. He'd love it. Wouldn't bother him, would it? He'd love it. Don't get too thin on the side.
Now that he's mostly retired,
he
might be able to talk to me too.
I've got him
on. Yeah.
What's these boys got out here? Is this the headquarters or the shop up here, I guess?
There's a motorcycle shop next door.
Yeah. And they're off from work, and they're just shopping out there.
Well, you know, Preacher Gordon is one of my favorite, most, I guess, will be one of the most memorable characters. He is one of the most humorous fellows that you ever want to be around.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he is one of the most humble.
Yeah.
And down to earth,
U.S. Gordon.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You hear people talk about human needs, and you hear people talking about meeting human needs, but when it comes to getting involved personally, it's quite another thing. But I'm going to tell you something, that old man has gotten involved in a situation out here that nobody wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole.
Oh, he has?
Yes, sir.
Hmm.
He's uptown seminary slickers, you know, that have such a high IQ education. They're set apart from human needs.
Yeah.
But don't you class Preacher Gordon in that.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's a pretty well educated man.
Yes, but what is education?
Yeah.
It's not going to add to the ability of meeting the human needs. If it's going to separate us and build a breach between us, I don't want it. That's not education to me.
No, that's just going off in the other direction.
Bible describes that as ever increasing in wisdom, but yet never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And the truth is, we all need each other at one time or another, and we're going to need God. And if we can't relate to people,
you can't use that education constructively for people's needs. Why? Because education is God.
Yes. Kenny, what's your best light on the scriptures when you get into a passage? How you get into it?
How do I get into it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
Well, like the little quarterlies, you know, the Sunday school quarterlies. They always have a little comment on the lesson, and a lot of times they're good. It's not, I don't think they hardly give you enough to, you know, preach from.
Well, sometimes I draw my messages from suggested outlines to coincide with the Sunday school lesson. Sometimes I don't even, it doesn't appeal to me at all.
Oh, yeah.
You know, our Sunday school lesson, the Southern Baptist Convention, are drawn up on a year ahead basis.
Yeah. I ran across a little book one time on the, there's one on each of the of the books, the Matthew, you know, by Barclay, B-A-R-C-L-A-Y. He's English or Scotch, something like that. And it was one of the finest I ever saw. You could just sit down and read it. And it's a reference book. But he drew it up so you could read it chapter at a time. And on the way to work, and he made it readable and put in a lot of information too. That's right, good size job.
William Barclay.
Yeah, that's right, William Barclay.
He was one of the early liberal thinkers, theologians.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, I never exactly thought of him as a theologian. I guess he was. He studied it. I guess that'd make him a theologian, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Very intelligent man, according to what I've understood about him. I've never been as great, as you perhaps well know, a great student of. I never had an opportunity, really, to be a student of theology.
I believe I've got one or two of them little things out of house. I'll bring them in here and let you see them. You may have them already. Or maybe you passed all that. It's sort of simple. I like it kind of, you know, it doesn't put you on any, you don't have to remember all them distinctions. Just let him remember all that. How was the visit? Go out and feed the cows.
Well, sir, I enjoyed your visit and your company. Come again.
Right on. I'll see you out at Oakdale sometime.
Come on.
Did you know he was out there?
Yes. Can't help but know it. Work with
him. He don't keep his secret, huh? I know where it is out there. I've been out there. But it's been several years since I was out there. I haven't been out there, of course, since he's there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so far over there. I'm going to try to get over there sometime.
Where's the farm?
Right due south. Right due south, past Micanopy. Just past Micanopy. I live out there and raise cattle a little bit and work up here at the campus. Like about half the others out there, so all of them work somewhere. Can't make a living out there. I'll see you. Now that's the end of the tape with Kenny on Saturday afternoon, 15th of March, 1969. This is Channel
1 over around 660. Channel 1 over around 660. And the end of the visit with Kenny at the barbershop on Saturday afternoon, 15th of March, 1969, on this new reel called Kenny Sims. This is the end of the tape with Kenny Sims at the barbershop on Saturday afternoon, 15th of March, 1969. Channel 1 over around 665. Channel 1 over around 665. And the end of the visit with Kenny Sims at the barbershop Saturday afternoon, 15th of March, 1969.